One of the great blessings of being a believer and believing in Allah is the connection that we have with the Almighty without any intermediary. And that connection is through dua. In that dua, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ad-du'a mukhla al-ibadah." The dua is the innermost core of your ibadah. Is the mukh is the is like the bone marrow. Is it what you can get to the depth of something? That's what the essence of it, of your worship, is the dua. Ad-du'a silahul mu'min. It's also the weapon of the believers. It's the weapons of the believers. One of the ulama told our shuyukh that their weapon are curvilinear. They go, the rocket goes from here and comes down another place. Our weapons go straight to the heaven, folk, straight to the heaven. And Mawlana Rumi said that the dua of lovers, it goes beyond the heaven. It goes beyond the arsh in kursi. This is the great thing about the dua when you are really truly in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in a state of desperation, in a state of need. So there's one beautiful dua from the Quran that the Prophet ﷺ recommended all of us to do, and we do it in a prayer. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابِ النَّارِ. I always wonder, why is it that in every gathering, in every majlis, whether it's happiness, whether it's joyful event or a funeral or khatm of Quran, we always read this dua. There's always you read this dua. But the Prophet ﷺ told us there are many benefits in this. And our ulama, they reflected on this and they said, what are the benefits that Allah has given us in this dunya? Because you're asking, Ya Allah, Allahumma Rabbana, fi dunya, in the dunya, I want good in the dunya. And I want good in the akhirah, and protect me from the fire of hell. So what are the good of the dunya? So the ulama, they said there are five goods in the dunya that you're asking through this dua. The first good is ilm and nafi, a knowledge that's beneficial. Knowledge are of many kinds. There are knowledge people learn how to harm people. There are people learn a science in order to create a bomb to destroy people. But there are also those people who are studying the same science in order to cure people. One is making the poison, the other is making the antidote, right? This is the nature of knowledge. And that all depends on your intention, the knowledge. So a knowledge that is beneficial. And this is why the Quran reminds us, وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتِ, that those whom Allah is giving knowledge, He has raised them in rank. They have a rank higher than the people of ordinary people. فَضْلُ الْعَالِمِ, the preference of the alim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there's two beautiful hadith on this. There are two of my favorite hadith. عَلَى الْعَابِدْ كَفَضْلِ أَدْنَاكُمْ. The preference of an alim over a regular worshipper is the virtue of an alim over a regular worshipper is that it's my virtue over the lowest of you. Subhanallah. That he's comparing the alim to his virtue to the lowest of you. So that's the rank of an alim and beneficial knowledge. But what is really truly a... Khaj Abdullah Al-Ansari, the great sage of Afghanistan, he said, "Alim bi amal misla kura charaq badast ast." An alim that doesn't have action is like a blind man with a flashlight. He can't help himself. But there's wisdom even in that. What is the wisdom in that? Go ahead and take the knowledge from him. He has the light. He's not using it. You use the knowledge. And this is why some people say, oh, I can't study the science with this guy because he's really not practicing. Doesn't matter. You take that knowledge and you practice it. You take the knowledge, you practice that knowledge. Allah didn't give him that tawfiq, but you can take it from them. There's a lot of people that have knowledge, but they don't practice it. Take it and practice it. So an ilm that is beneficial. Knowledge goes to two places when it enters you. Either it goes to your head or it goes to your heart. That's it. That's why they say, oh, it's gone to his head. His knowledge has gone to his head. How many times we have heard that? Look at this guy, so arrogant. It's gone to his head. Mawlana Rumi said, ilm agar bar sar zanat, mari buad. Ilm agar bar dil zanat, yari buad. If knowledge goes into your head, it will turn you into a snake. You become a reptilian brain. But if knowledge goes into your heart, you become a beloved. And everything that you say enters the hearts of people. And that's the type of knowledge that we want. You ask from this dua and knowledge that is beneficial. The second is you ask for rizq that is wasi', right? Bountiful rizq, sustenance that Allah has given you. When we drink Zamzam water, what is the dua of Zamzam water? Allahumma inni as'alaka ilman nafi'an wa rizqan wasi'an wa shifa'an min kulli da'. Ya Allah, give me knowledge that's beneficial and rizq that is bountiful and in healing from all of the ailment and sickness. This is the dua of Zamzam water, which they say it's accepted, inshallah, when you drink Zamzam water. As you all know, the adab of Zamzam water to drink is to stand up. The adab of water is to sit down. But for Zamzam, we stand in honor and we face the Qibla and make that dua, inshallah. So, rizq that is wasi'. But really, there's essential thing in food, and then what they call asal, and there's furu'at, there's non-essential, right? So there's a story of Junaid al-Baghdadi when he met Bahlul. Bahlul was a, they say he was a madman, right? Abdul Qadir Baydil rahmatullah, he said that روزن عالم غیب است دل اهل جنون من آن شهر که دیوانه فراوان دارد. The great Indian poet said that the people of madness, their heart has a window to the unseen. I want to be the resident of that city where there are a lot of mad people. Right? But there are mad people, there's one thing about them that's unique, and this is why they're in all of the Muslim poetry. They're not munafiq. Mad people are not munafiq. They tell you exactly what it is. And they have a secret within themselves that nobody knows. They said Bahlul was a crazy man. He would stay away from people, and he was... So Junaid wanted to see him, al-Baghdadi. And he said, I want to see Sheikh Bahlul. They said, the ulama used to call him Sheikh Bahlul. The other people used to call him crazy. There's a famous story of him. A young man was making fun of him. And Bahlul was coming from far away. And look at the wisdom of Bahlul. And look at the stupidity of this young intellectual. And when Bahlul was coming, he made fun of him and said, Wallahi, Siri, when you were coming from far, I thought it was an animal coming. Because they say he was very ugly too. He wasn't good looking. And Bahlul looked at him. He said, Wallahi, when I saw you from far, I thought a human was coming. And that's the wisdom of Bahlul. So Bahlul and Junaid met. And Junaid had three questions that he wanted to ask him. But anyways, one of the questions was, he said, you're Junaid? You're the man that you're going around and you're teaching all these people. You have all these murids and followers. He said, yeah, I'm that man. He said, Subhanallah, how do you eat your food? He said, I say Bismillah when I eat, and I take small morsel, I eat from what's close to me, I put it on the right side of my mouth, I chew slowly, I show gratitude to Allah when I eat, and I wash my hand when I'm finished, and I don't look at other people when they eat. This is the basic adab of eating. He says, Subhanallah, and you call yourself an alim, and you don't know how to eat? And he said, what do you mean I don't know how to eat? He said, is your food halal? Because if your food is haram, you can do all of that. Those are furu'at. The essential is that it's halal. If you didn't get that right, it doesn't matter how you eat. It doesn't matter all of the sunnahs that you're going to do. If the food is haram, it's useless. It's useless. You're not going to get any benefit from it. He said, you're with the non-essential. Go after the essential. That's what he taught him, Bahlul. So just to ask for rizq. Ask for rizq that is bountiful but is halal. The Quran reminds us that eat and drink from that which is halal, tayyib. These two words come together in the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us to eat, ya ayyuhan nasu kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiban. Eat from the earth, but halal, pure, and tayyib. Right? So it has to be pure food and be halal food. The third, he said that you have to have the one of the great blessings in this dua is to for the dunya is to have children that are righteous. Children that are righteous. This is beyond blessings in this dunya. For anyone who's a father, there's no better gift that Allah can give you than a child that is salih. the child that is righteous. This is, you know, if you ask a parent that Allah can give, take away all your wealth, take away all your cars and your house and all that, but He will give you a child that is righteous. He'll take all of them. Give me a righteous child. I'll give you all the dunya and I give you a child that is Pharaoh, as a Pharaon, and a kafir, a disbeliever, and you wouldn't take that transaction. The whole world, right? After you die, three things remain from you, according to the hadith, right? Ilm and nafin, a knowledge that's beneficial, that you teach something, people use it. Sadaqa jariya, you help with the mosque, you build this mosque. Anybody who prays in here, you get the reward till the end of time, till whenever people pray here. Or you build a bridge or something, you help humanitarian project, you build a hospital. Those are sadaqa jariya. And you leave behind a righteous child that makes dua for you. Those are the three things that remain from a human being even after we're dead. So that's another blessing from this dua. This fourth one is amal that is khalis. This is, the sahaba were more concerned about the acceptance of the action than the action. We are in a generation that is all about the action. We really don't think that much. Is this action going to be accepted by Allah? If it's not accepted, no matter how big, how magnanimous it is, it's worthless. It's worthless. Rather do a small little thing that is accepted than a big thing that is not accepted. So an action that is purely for the sake of Allah. In the Masnavi of Rumi, there's a story that is based on a tradition of our tradition of Sayyidina Ali when he was in a battle. And he was fighting a man. He was fighting for the sake of Allah. He was in a battle fighting for the sake of Allah. And he grabbed this man and he put him down and he took his sword and he was about to finish him. And the man spat in his face. He put his saliva on the face of Sayyidina Ali. And Sayyidina Ali put the sword back and tied him up. And the man said, "What happened? You were supposed to kill me. I spat in your face." And Sayyidina Ali said, "I was going to kill you. That battle, the whole fight was for the sake of Allah." He said, "When you spat in my face, there's a change in my nafs. Neem bahre haq shudu, neemi hawa. Half of it was for God, half was for my own passion. Half was for God, the other half, I really wanted to kill you. Because you just dishonored me, disrespect me. Sharkatan dar kara haq, na badrawa." And come on. And you're going to do the work of God and split the whole thing, half is for you, half is for God, you're going to do that? You can't. Either it's for Allah or for the nafs. You can't mix it. And this is why action should be for the sake of Allah. All the work that we are doing, and start with the intention of that, and then do it for the sake of Allah, for the sake of time. The last one is, he said that aman, security. A aman that is kamil, that is... People don't know security unless you went through. You want to know the value of security? Ask your brothers and sisters in Gaza. Just ask them about security. They can't feel secure in their home. They can't feel secure outside their home. This is their situation. Wallahi, one of the greatest blessings of being on this planet Earth is safety and security. Ask the people of Afghanistan. Ask the people of Kashmir. Ask these people, what is the value of security? And this is why in the sixth principle of establishing a government, the first one establishing security. If you don't have security, you have nothing. You have no transaction. You can't do anything. No security. May Allah bring security and peace to our brothers and sisters in Gaza. Ya Rab. Ya Rab. What do people say when they enter paradise? What's the first word that comes out of everyone's mouth when they enter paradise? Ya Rabbi Salim. Ya Rabbi Salim. Ya Allah, it's so peaceful. It's so peaceful. This, according to Imam Al-Haddad, he said the true peace, 100%, that a human and a believer will experience is in that moment. No pain, no suffering, no worries, no anxiety, nothing. Allah removes all of that from you and you just keep seeing. It is so peaceful. It is so peaceful, Ya Allah. It is so peaceful, Ya Allah. And people keep repeating this. Some for years are standing there. It is so peaceful. Just the value of true peace. And this is why one of the name of Allah is As-Salam. The one who can give you that peace. It's only Allah can give you that peace. And this is the secret of this religion, that Allah can give you that peace in the middle of war zone. Allah can create a rose garden in the middle of the fire, just like He did for Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah can do that. And this is why there are people who are in the middle of war zone, and yet they're in Jannah. They're in Jannah because they are, their heart is with as-salam. Their hearts is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the five benefits and the five beauties of this dua. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan fi al-akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. In the dunya, aqul qawli hadha, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. In the ulama, they say there's two benefits in the hereafter from the same dua, because it's في الدنيا and في الآخرة. It's both of them are in there. The benefits of آخرة is that you're asking Allah that He makes your حساب easy, your accounting. People don't know when you get audited. I got audited one time, and I realized, oh my God, Day of Judgment is going to be tough. Because these guys were asking for just receipts and stuff for one business, one aspect of my life, not the whole thing. We'll be asked for every word that we uttered, everything that we listen, everything that we watched, everything that we say behind people's back, everything that we said in front of them, everything that we concealed, everything that we revealed, all of that that nobody knows except Allah and that which is in your heart. And this is why the scariest thing about Day of Judgment is that Allah will scan your hearts. It's not going to be your tongues. Because sometimes you say, oh, salam alaikum, I love you, my brother. But inside you're like, oh, I hate this man. That's what's going to be scanned. Not the love, not the salam. Whatever is in your heart. The actual coding that is in the heart. The coding that is in the heart. The 0101. That's what's going to be scanned. It's going to come on a screen. It's going to show you what you did and what you said. And Allah is going to ask you. And Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali in Ihya says a scary statement, which is based on our tradition, that every moment of your life is like a box opens up and you have to answer for all of it. What did you do at this moment? Next moment. Next moment. Next moment. Every moment of your life. That Allah make it easy on that day for you. For all of us, make it easy, Ya Allah, that He doesn't take us to Hisab, the auditing would be easy. The auditing would be easy. That's why Sayyidina Umar said, Ahasibu qablan tuhasibu. Right? It's a traditional hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, that mutu qablan tamutu, ahasibu qablan tuhasibu. Die before you die. Take yourself to accounting before you're taken to. Audit yourself. Do an internal audit before you're taken to an audit. Every night we're supposed to do an audit before we go to sleep. What did we do? How was our day? Our hasanat. Ask for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that Sayyidina Ali said, a dunya about this world. The definition of dunya, one of the best definition that I've ever heard. Sayyidina Ali, the wise, the hakim. A dunya halaluhu hisab wa haramuhu iqab. This is the nature of dunya. If you earned it halal, if you did it, it's halal. If your transaction was halal, if your relationship was halal, if what you said was halal, everything, there's a hisab for it. Even if it's halal. But if it's haram, you're going to get punished for it. This is the nature of this dunya. Right? Al-mal wal-banun zinatul hayati dunya. This is the dunya. These are the ornament of life. Your wealth and your children. These are the ornament of life. Right? Bahalal is hisab, haram is iqab. So you have to, and the last one obviously is to, it will free you, inshallah, from the fire, from the torment of the hereafter. And this is why on that day, when you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything that you did in this world will help you in the hereafter. And this is why these du'as are important. This is why it's at every prayer, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Why do we read this so often? So we can get the benefit in the dunya and we can get the benefit in the akhirah. These are a small thing, kalimatani. The last hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, there are two words. Right? خفيفتان على اللسان ثقيلتان في الميزان They're heavy in the scale, but they're light on the tongue. Habibatani ila rahmani. They're beloved to Allah subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These words, light on the tongue, heavy on the scale, beloved to Allah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. Just to say, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. Light words, but they are heavy. Don't underestimate the power of these words, because these are the words that Allah is telling us to say. These are not the words that I'm telling you or somebody else telling you. Allah is telling you. He knows the measurement of these. So keep yourself, your family, your friends, your teacher, your children, your parents, your community, the believers, the human family in your du'as. But if you ever forget yourself in the prayer, you're making du'a for everybody, you forget yourself in the du'a, know that that's the greatest du'a you made. That's the most sincere du'a with ikhlas. Because all of the du'a you made for everybody else, Allah will say, take all of them and give it to him as well, because he forgot himself. He was always concerned with other people. So make dua. This is the time of dua. These are the month of dua. These are blessed month that we are entering into. These next 2-3 months until Ramadan is going to come, inshallah. May Allah make us people of dua, inshallah. And protect this community and protect the brothers and sisters, our brothers and sisters in Palestine, in Gaza, in Afghanistan, in Kashmir, all over the world, wherever they are suffering. Ya Allah, may Allah end the suffering of the Muslim and of humankind. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman.